Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch, as we have the privilege to consider Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. And, of course, this is the great renewed heavens and renewed earth text that John in the book of Revelation builds upon in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. To get just a little running start, what we need to understand is throughout chapters 56 to 66 in the great book of Isaiah, there would be one main driving question. And this is the question: what will happen to the suffering servant's offspring? Now, that may sound a little strange, but we really need to go back to the fourth sermon song in chapter 53, verse 10, where Isaiah writes in part of the suffering servant, Yireh Zerah, he will see offspring, seed. What does this imply? It means that the suffering servant is going to have suffering servants. It means that through his death and resurrection, as envisioned by Isaiah in the fourth servant song, he will create a new community of miniature suffering servants. And their basis, their foundation, is the righteousness that this suffering servant won for them. Isaiah 54 is actually the prophet's theological reflections upon the four servant song. And the last part of verse 17 in chapter 54, the prophet writes, Zot Nakalat Avde Yahweh. This is the inheritance of the servants of Yahweh. So the offspring of the servants in 53:10 would be synonymous with the Avdei Yahweh, the servants of Yahweh. And they have an inheritance. They have a gift. And what is it? Vedse Katam, their righteousness, Me Etina Yahweh. Their righteousness is from me. They have a forensic, juridical righteousness that is outside of them, that is accomplished by the suffering servant, 53:11. Yatzdik Zadik Avdi La Rabim, my righteous servant will justify many. The many would be, in this case, the Avdei Yahweh, the servants of Yahweh. All that is to say is that in chapters 56 to 66, these servants are sometimes actually called servants. For example, in chapter 65, verse 8, they're called my servants. In verse 13, they're called my servants. Again, in verse 14 of Isaiah 65, my servants. In verse 15, they're called his servants. So the promises of the renewed heaven and new renewed earth are for those who receive by faith the righteous standing of the suffering servant. They're also called my chosen ones, which Bekarai, which would be the last word in 65:22. All right, so this is the gift that the suffering servant gives to his servants. All right, so here we go into this text that is trying to describe the indescribable. What will it be like when God recreates all reality? So to describe the indescribable, the prophet needs to use idioms and images and words that we can actually understand. We also want to understand that this is not creatio ex nihilo. This is creatio ex vetera. It's not creation of nothing. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach annihilation and new creation. The Bible teaches that there's going to be creatio ex veterit. There will be creation out of the old. God could have said, I'll make all new things the old won't do. Instead, he said, I'll make all things new. Our God is a renewing God, a reforming God. And this is what we have. So we will understand Kadashim and Kadashah, the adjective that comes as a masculine plural and a feminine singular in 65:17, not as absolute new, but as renewed. Just as Christ himself didn't get a brand new body in the resurrection from the dead, but got a renewed body, so analogously speaking, that is God's plan for all creation. Let's look at the text. So, ki hine vore shemayim kadashim va'aretz kadashah. So, behold, with hine plus the participle, I am about to recreate a renewed heavens and renewed earth. Might be one way to get it, maybe a little bit more exact. Bara, of course, only uses Yahweh as its subject. It's the most technical creational verb in the Hebrew Bible. It's the second word in the Hebrew Bible, Bereshit Bara, Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, he created, that is, God created. So God is going to create a renewed heavens and a renewed earth, or recreate. And he's about to do it, in a plus participle. The ha reshinot, the former things, nifal, from zakar, tizakarna, the former things will not be remembered. Now, what are the former things? Certainly in Isaiah 56 to 66, the former things would be the split in the community of the suffering servant that is actually definitive in 65:8. As well as the idolatry and the apostasy and the pain and the groaning and the sighing that we can see throughout these last 11 chapters of the book. And these reshinot will not go up. Ta'alena alev will not cause to go up, hifil of Allah, upon a heart. They won't come to mind here. Ki im, this is a strong adversative, rather, sasu vegilu ade ad. Rather, they, now who's the they? That would be the offspring of the suffering servant. We're back to 53:10 and 11 and 54:17. They will rejoice, they will be glad, ade ad, forever and ever. Asher, somewhat woodenly here, which ani vore, probably upon which I am creating. Kihine, and here we go from the Shemayim and Eretz, the heavens and the earth, to the real focus of the book of Isaiah, and that's Yerushalayim, right? The city is called a prostitute and a whore already in chapter 1. The leaders are duplicitous and lack faith, like Ahaz in chapter 7. There's rampant idolatry that's going on in Jerusalem throughout the book. And we could look, for example, in chapter 57, which would be the closest text that describes idolatry in verses 3 through 13 of chapter 57. This Jerusalem, see, is really the target. For Yahweh is recreating Jerusalem, Gila, a joy, and her people, Masos, a rejoicing. So Jerusalem is finally going to be Yerushalayim, a city of peace. Peace here being restored, whole, complete, not lacking anything. And now that's Jerusalem. Galti, verse 19, in Jerusalem. So I will rejoice in Jerusalem. Yahweh will find great joy in Jerusalem. Vesasti ve'ami. And I will rejoice in my people. They're my people. That's how really the second half of the book begins. Comfort, comfort, my people. And it will not be heard, Nephal of Shema, Velo Yishma. It will not be heard, Ba, in her again, a voice of weeping. Or a voice of za'ak, of crying out. Of course, this takes us to the famous parable in chapter 5, verse 7, where Yahweh looked for tzedakah, and there was only za'akah. He looked for righteousness, and there was only economic crying out. And that will not be heard again. Verse 20, Elo yehyeh misham od, this first word after there will not be misham, that mame is a little awkward. Septuagint and other versions simply don't render it. It may be a so-called enclitic mame that should perhaps go on the verb, yehyeh. At any rate, we would translate, it will not be there, sham, again, a ool, a sucking one of days, or an old one, a zaken, an old man, who will not fulfill yamau, his days, because a na'ar, a young teenager, will be a son of 100 years when he dies. Now, this is not to say that in the restored order there will be death. Isaiah is taking care of that in chapter 25, where he writes very clearly in chapter 25, verse 8, that death is swallowed up forever. Balahamavet na la netzach. So this is just Isaiah's poetic way, back in 65, of saying there won't be any death, okay? There won't be a child that just lives a couple days. There won't be an old person that doesn't fulfill his years. You see, in this restored order, poetically speaking, a young one, see, dies at 100 years. And one, in Veha, Kote, here we would understand this as its secondary meaning. One who misses, rather than sins, but it can be miss, kata. One who misses a son of 100 years, yekalal, will be cursed. This is Isaiah's way in verse 20 of saying people will live forever. Death is swallowed up, the death of death. I mean, this is a Easter text, by the way. And so we'd want to matrix this idea with his thoughts in chapter 25. They will build houses and they will live in them. The in them is not there, but that's implied. And they will plant vineyards and they will eat pir yam, their fruit. They will not build, lo yivnu, and another will dwell, ye shave, that's a call imperfect, third masculine singular from yeshav, first yod, originally first vav. The rule is that the thematic vowel seire comes under the preformative, in this case the yod. So they will not build another dwell. And they will not plant, from Nata, the Nun has assimilated, Yitu, and another will eat. Ki kime ha eitz yime ami. So, like the days of the tree, the days of my people, Isaiah loves trees. Isaiah loves trees. And staying just within this last part of the book of Isaiah, the eunuch in chapter 56, 1 through 8, which is really the overview of these last 11 chapters, the eunuch says in 56:3, Hain ani eitz yavesh, behold, I'm a dried up tree. I have no hope. I have no future. See, I'm dried up. And because of the righteousness of the suffering servant, this new community is called Elei HaTzedek, Oaks of Righteousness, in 61 verse 3. So the tree imagery back in 65:22 is something Isaiah has used already. The days of the tree. Well, the tree lasts a long time. In this case, he's using what is describable to tell us what is indescribable. Earlier in verse 20, you know, people will live a long time, and here, like the days of the tree. And the work of their hands, continuing on, will not be in vain. Yivalu. And here we have this critical interpretive word, Bekarai, my chosen ones. So this is not universalism. This is not for everybody. It's for my people, right? It's for Jerusalem. It's for my chosen ones. It's the offspring of the servant. Goes on then in verse 23, and they will not toil lareek in vain, and they will not give birth for vanity or calamity, perhaps is better. And here it is, Kizera Bekaru, Beruke Yahweh Hema. For the seed of the ones being blessed by Yahweh are they. So this is, again, a major connection back to the four servant song. These are the offspring of the suffering servant, and they are blessed by Yahweh, and their offspring with them. So the promise is for you and your children, we can almost hear Peter saying in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And it will be before Terem, verse 24, they will call, I myself will answer, and before they, Meda Berim, they are speaking. Now this is something that causes us to pause. Most people don't speak to Yahweh. They call to him in the Old Testament. So this appeal participle, medebarim, from deber, is actually quite informative. There are only four people who actually speak debar to Yahweh in the Old Testament. Abraham in Genesis 18:3, Moses debers in Exodus 34:34, Samuel in 1 Samuel 8:21, and Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12:1. These are the greatest people in the Old Testament, right? At least some of them. Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Jeremiah. So what is normally used to speak of these great leaders, they have access to speak to God. So the servant's offspring have access now. And ve'ani eshma, I myself will listen. Verse 25, of course, takes us back in large part to the promises in Isaiah 11. A wolf and a lamb, yiru, will graze, ke'akad, like one, and an aryeh, a lion, like an ox, will eat teven, straw, and an akash, afar lachmo, and the serpent, his lechem, his bread, his food, dust. And they will not do evil, and they will not destroy, b'kol har kodesho amar Yahweh, in all my holy mountain, said Yahweh. Yahweh said it, and that settles it. So it's on the holy mountain. And that certainly is where the great feasting takes place in 25, 6 through 9. It's in Jerusalem where there will be this no more law of the jungle, right? Between the wolf and the lamb and the lion and the ox. And the serpent, of course, will only eat dust. As John reworks this in light of the Christ event, he says the serpent will be thrown into the lake of fire. So verses 17 through 20, totally joyful. verses 21 through 23, totally secure. Another, see, won't eat what we have planted. Another won't dwell in what we've built. So totally joyful, totally secure. 24 to 25, totally at peace with God, right? Nearness with God, we'll call and he'll answer even before we speak it. And the vision of peace in verse 25. So it's total. It's total resurrection on Easter. And so we have totally joyful, totally secure, totally at peace. Have great joy as you announce this gospel to the world.